This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this.
Now, that kind of talk this week dragged Australia's share market to
this
a two-year low.
There are, of course, complex Stephen reasons for that.
He was the big spender. Right. The big spender.
Doing the grocery shopping could take a huge chunk out of the family budget.
And that's finance.
Hello and welcome to Comedian versus Economist. We demystify the world of money and help you get a handle on the bigger picture. My name's Adam, and we're joined as always by my little older brother and real-life economist, Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, g'day, Adam. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Hey, big show coming up. Thanks to everyone out there for joining us once again, or welcome if you're tuning in for the first time. Got some nice reviews coming in, which we love. A review all the way from the US of A this week, Thomas. Struggle Chick said, love the podcast, which is great. Given how much smack Thomas talks about America, it's nice that they still like us over there. So we do like it if you leave us a review. But even more than that, though, if you could just recommend us to someone, that would be amazing. Next time someone asks you for a podcast recommendation, just give old CVE a shout out. That would be much appreciated. More listeners just means a few more resources we can put into bringing you a great show each week. In fact, I'd love to hear the most creative way that you've recommended our show to someone you know. Like, you could maybe pay a skywriter or get a chant going at the cricket. Or maybe you could just sit down with your long-term partner, put on some slow music, light a few candles and say, baby, you and I have been together a long time now. I think it's time we take the next step. I want to spend the rest of my life with you listening to Comedian versus Economist. Baby, will you CVE with me? And can you pass the taco sauce? Something like that. Something simple. Easy as that. Otherwise, maybe just say, yes, I do have some podcast recommendations. Anyway, massive show. Let's leave that silliness there. And hey, our birthday next week, Thomas. We're having a birthday. We turn one as a podcast, which is exciting. So I'm taking the week off. you do what you want.
Yeah, well deserved break.
So not sure what's happening next week. I think you're catching up with an economist friend of yours, Thomas, a special guest on the show in my absence. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think we're going to talk energy markets, which is probably a good one for you to duck out of, actually.
Shame I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for now, big show coming up, as I say. So let's get started. And this week on the show, CBA have updated some of their forecasts, now saying there is a fair chance of rain on Thursday, among other things. Coffee prices have perked up a bit. No, seriously, what the hell, man? Don't mess with my coffee. Cash is king. The king is dead. Long live the king. In a world of paywave, afterpay, and Bitcoin, why is there more cash around than ever? But first, Thomas, riddle me this. I started a car company in 2009. To date, I've delivered 150 cars, which wouldn't even fill the car park at the local IGA. And last year, the company lost $1 billion. How on earth could I IPO this week and now be valued at $113 billion?
Oh, yes. Big questions. That are big questions to start. Mm. Yeah. So we're talking about Rivian here. So Rivian IPO'd on the NASDAQ last week. Biggest IPO since Facebook, I've been told. Definitely the hottest in the market. So shares popped 66% in 2 days, which is a huge... Ooh. Yeah, massive.
66, but that's huge.
Yeah, massive. To top the net market cap now of $113 billion, that's more than the US giants of General Motors and Ford. on the back of 153 pickup trucks that they've delivered.
This story makes very little sense to me. I mean, so we've got this company, Rivian, which I don't know if you're aware, they actually changed their name from Rivian. They used to be called Mainstream Motors. Yeah, but decided it was too motory.
Yeah. Or mainstream.
So they've debuted, they are now worth $113 billion. They lost $1 billion last year. Woolworths didn't Woolworths post like a massive profit and their share price tanked?
Yeah.
These guys have busted out of the gates with, yep, nailed it, $1 billion loss, which is up from the previous year, by the way. They're not even tracking the right way. They lost many millions.
$426 million in 2019.
So 2019, they lose $400 million. Everyone's like, we are in good shape for the IPO next year. I'm feeling good about this.
Actually, it's worse than that. It's $426 million in 2019, $1 billion in 2020, and in the first 9 months of this year, it's another billion.
Right. Killing it.
They're actually going the wrong way. Yeah.
But it's okay because we made how many cars?
153 delivered. Mostly sold to their employees.
Can you imagine that when negotiating the package? So what, I get super? Yeah, I'll give you a bit of super. Can I get a company car? Yeah, you can have one of ours. Ah, really? I'd rather not. Right. So these guys are an electric car company. They're obviously, it's all the talk now, electric cars.
Well, not electric cars, electric adventure vehicles. That's what they're calling it. So they're pickup trucks and SUVs.
Right.
Utes and SUVs. That's the segment that they've gone after.
Hang on. Their main competitor is Tesla, right? Well-documented success story in a sense.
Yeah. I mean, but Tesla's passenger car. So Tesla cracked the passenger car market. And
Taco tomato, Thomas. Taco tomato.
Well, no, I think you need more grunt. I think speed's one thing, but grunt's another thing.
It's not a stretch. If you've got all the bits together, you've got all the bits together to build a car, you're not far away from building a. You just chop the back window out and slash the roof in half, and you got a ute.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Bush Mechanics, I don't know if the EV market's a bit more complex than that. I think we're out of our depth here talking about how to
build an EV.
yeah. So, but that's the segment they're going after, and so people people talking up saying they did get the first mover advantage in that market. It's a big market. Like, you look at Australian car sales, like SUVs passenger cars are on the way out, SUVs are on the way up. So if that's going to continue, then there's much more demand for passenger SUVs than there are for luxury EVs.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's still a passenger vehicle. You don't need more grunt than you'd get in a Tesla. I don't know, what have they got, the Model 3 or 5 or whatever it is. You don't need a lot more grunt. Like, I've got a SUV, right? But it's not going off-road. If I took that thing off-road, I would need the Bush Mechanic, because I sometimes get nervous going over speed bumps. Like, it's two-wheel drive. It's got, like, a four-cylinder engine. It's a nothing car. It's all about... it's pathetic. It's totally just like a soccer mum car,
right?
For moving the kids around.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So if they're like adventure vehicles, then maybe that's a different market.
Maybe. But I think that the big thing that Rivian's got going for it is that it's backed by Amazon. So Amazon owns 20% of the company,
right.
And there's a contract. They have a contract with Amazon to build 100,000 electric delivery vans. And I think that's what people are seeing here, like. You've got Amazon backing you. So Amazon has deep, deep pockets, and Amazon has runs on the board just monstering every industry that they get into, whether it's Whole Foods or delivery or web services. Like, wherever Amazon goes, they just like destroy whatever industry they move into.
It's probably better than the army of Ford Fiestas they've got going around at the moment with their Amazon Flex system, where you're not even allowed to own a van.
Yeah, that's right. So I think this is what it really, I think this is what the market's reacting to. This is my theory that what the market's reacting to is not that Rivian has IPO'd, is that Amazon has announced that they're getting into EVs.
Right.
And this, and Rivian is the vehicle for it. And so people are going like, okay, Amazon's getting into EVs. I'm going to back that just because Amazon's such a monster.
I guess a safer play in my book, wouldn't you just buy Amazon?
Yeah, I guess you could. It'd be a drop in the bucket for Amazon's market cap, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You tell me.
Like, it's not even if Rivian... yeah, it was a rhetorical question. You didn't actually have to answer it. No, but like, if Rivian killed it, it's not going to really move the dial on Amazon's profits much. I wouldn't have thought.
No, yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't know. The other thing I was thinking about this is so we've got this new company, and it's like, it's another one of these kind of startups in a sense. It hasn't been around very long.
Hmm.
It's coming into a new technology or a new phase of a very old industry, right? Like, you know, motor cars have been around for a long time. Like, where are the big giants of auto manufacturing? Surely they're... Like, you're taking on them as, you know, more than you're taking on Tesla in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, Ford owns 12% of Rivian, which is sort of interesting. Ah. So they're kind of, they've got their finger in the pie as well. Like, why Ford's not doing their own thing? I mean, they probably are doing their own thing, but maybe it's just specialized. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Like, also, like, I think Rivian's planning to buy their stuff offshore, whereas compared to Tesla, so one of the things that like Musk prides himself on is that he builds the machines that make the machines. So he invests in the tech that actually builds the cars and is able to do it in America.
Mm.
And owning that tech gives Tesla a big advantage as well, which I think that's one thing that separates it from Rivian. I mean, in Tesla, Tesla's an interesting comparison because Tesla launched in 2010, but it didn't turn a profit until last year. So its first profit was last year. So that's over a decade to get in the money. Elon Musk was on Twitter. He must have had his account reinstated since last week. He says, "I hope they're able to achieve high production and break-even cash flow. That is the true test," he tweeted. "There have been hundreds of automotive startups, both electric and combustion, but Tesla is the only American car maker to reach high-volume production and positive cash flow in the past 100 years.
Well,
you reckon?
What? That doesn't stack up.
Well, I think he's saying that Ford and General Motors are more than 100 years old. So that he's the first new car, American car company to actually get positive cash flow.
Ah, oh, right. Okay. I thought he was just going back like through the history of time and talking about electric cars only.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you could just claim like the last million years. All right, Thomas, Commonwealth Bank have come out this week with some updated forecasts. What are we looking at?
So good times ahead, basically. So, Now they're seeing the economy snapping back more quickly than they had anticipated. So they had a pretty quick return to trend. They had this W shape in the profile, so a big dip in the first COVID outbreak and then another dip with the lockdowns that we've just gone through, and then coming back to trend.
So hang on. It's bouncing back quicker than expected after the last time where it bounced back quicker than expected.
Yes.
The last time being like 6-12 months ago.
Yeah.
Did we learn, as economists, Thomas, did we learn nothing from the first bounce back?
Yeah, well, no, there are a few unexpected developments that derailed.
Of course they were.
Impossible to predict. Look, forecasting's hard, all right? Yeah. No,
apparently.
The economy snapped back out of the first COVID downturn. It was much quicker than people thought. And then we went into lockdown again. And we pretty much got back to trend. You look at GDP, level of GDP, we pretty much got back to trend after that first snapback. Then we tanked again. We probably lost about half as much as we did in the first downturn. And that's where we're at now. But, yeah, so how quickly we come back is the question. And CBA had been saying we're going to come back pretty quickly, but now it's actually going to be even quicker than we thought. They're updating their forecast, saying it's going to be quicker than we thought. And so by the second quarter of 2022, so the second quarter of next year, we're back fully on trend. So almost like COVID had never happened.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. So
that'd be good. COVID never happened.
In terms of the GDP. So, yeah, saying it's, yep. Just gone. And there are two reasons they're pointing to. The first is that the vaccine rollout has gone much better than expected. So we had gone from being one of the worst performing countries in the developed world.
I was going to say, it's all roses now, isn't it? Yeah. You go back in the media, like literally 2 months ago, people are like, this is the worst rollout in the history of rollouts. No one's having it. We had like millions of doses sitting on planes because we were like, I'm not having AstraZeneca. Yeah. What are you, crazy? That's for the poor people. And now here we are saying this is one of the most successful rollouts ever.
We've gone from being one of the worst to one of the best. And it's all thanks to New South Wales and Victoria. And really, it was just people motivated to avoid the impacts of COVID. So that you see that in the States. So New South Wales and Victoria are up above 90% now of single dose above 16, whereas SA, Queensland, WA, I think, I don't know, tracking around 80%. They might be a bit higher than that now. But yeah, so the fear does seem to be a big driver in getting those vaccines into arms. But that means that it sort of changes the economic outlook and how smooth the economic reopening is going to be in CBA's eyes. Yeah, and the other thing that they're pointing to is that the unemployment rate never lifted as much as they were expecting. That you had this support packages going to employers and just generally government money flowing into the system, and that kept people in jobs. And the unemployment rates held low, like it didn't even really tick up. There's sort of some shift in participation, but unemployment's been very low. So we're now, you know, a full percentage point lower than where we were pre-COVID.
But is that because of border closures as well? Don't they play a big part in that? So people couldn't come into the country, a lot of the foreign workers that we might have had that, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's definitely part of it. Yeah, but there's a survey measure from the Melbourne Institute, the Westpac Consumer Confidence Survey, and there's a question like, how do you feel about your job security? And that's at bumper levels. So that's in line with the unemployment rate. So people are generally feeling pretty secure in their jobs. And that tends to translate into spending. So when people are feeling secure, they spend well.
Hmm.
And if you track the spending as well, so CBA published this chart on the card spending, so what people are spending on CBA cards. And that is, New South Wales is really interesting there. So New South Wales, as soon as it came out of lockdown, the card spending just snapped right back to where the other states, where Queensland and WA were sitting.
Well, we talked last week about more people going out to eat and stuff like that, you know, like shopping. Supermarket chains were noticing a dip as people, you know, ate out more and did less grocery shopping and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, there's a few interesting, the other interesting thing, like so part of the story through COVID is because people couldn't get out and spend, but incomes were held up by government support payments, that you had this boom in savings, and we've talked about this before. But they sort of published some of their internal data. So they're looking at deposits and offset accounts, so money held in offset accounts. It's up about 20-25% on where it was pre-COVID. So big jump in cash in deposit accounts and offset accounts. And then they then break that down by generation. So you got the boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z. And it's pretty much in line with age. So the boomers, their savings are up about 20%.
Right.
Gen Z's up about 80%.
Oh, I was going to say Gen Z wouldn't know what the hell an offset account was.
No, they probably don't have an offset account, but they've probably got cash.
Yeah. Right. So they're up 80%. They're saving more than boomers.
Well, in percentage terms. So Gen Z's off a very low base compared to boomers.
Right.
But they also have a higher propensity to consume income because they don't have a lot of, they don't tend to save, young people typically don't tend to save so much. So you expect once they're locked down, they're going to see a big jump in their savings.
Mm.
And that's sort of what you get. So yeah, so boomers up about 20%, but Gen Z up 80% in terms of their household deposits.
Wow. Well, ours is up. Ours is up this week until the end of this week when the new kitchen goes in. And then the old offset's going to take a fair whack. All right, let's take a break here. Thomas, you're going to share that chart to our socials, Instagram and Facebook. Find us at CBE Podcast. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about why the cost of coffee might go through the roof and where has all the cash in the economy come from. Be back with more Comedian versus Economist right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. You're on Comedian versus Economist. Of course, you can always send us an email. We love hearing from you. CVE@equitymates.com or via the website equitymates.com/CVE. But Thomas, for now, we're talking coffee. We've got a climate disaster looming. We've had a global pandemic. And now you're telling me that I might not be able to get a decent cup of coffee. What's going on?
Yeah. No, I went to my coffee shop the other day and $5 for a latte.
Thus forms the basis of our research for the show. Yeah,
that's hard data.
Right.
Take that to the bank. Now, there's a couple of things going on with that. So, one is that coffee prices are spiking right now. So, the forward futures on Arabica coffee, they're up 63% so far on their recent lows. So, yeah, big boom in coffee prices.
Fun fact, I heard that the bean that they make instant coffee from is called the Robusta.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case instant coffee wasn't unappealing enough as it was, they've made it from a bean that sounds like it was grown on a fence post. So I just picture them like just throwing the whole thing in a chipper and voila, blend 43. So, right, Arabica, 63% up.
Up 63%. So, and that's all on supply problems. So, Brazil is the biggest producer in the world. Their outlook for 2022-23 is somewhere between 34 and 39 million bags of coffee. But a typical year for them is around 50, somewhere around right. that. So, yeah, quite a big hit to supply. Some of that's logistics. Well, the freight and shipping, that sort of story going on. There's a lot of weather events. So, yeah, there's drought and frosts in Brazil and then heavy rain. So, they had drought and then frost, and then they had heavy rains that triggered a fungus outbreak.
Oh, what? You don't want that in your coffee.
No, and then the apparently pruning got out of hand, that the growers pruned their bushes too much, in some cases all the way down to the stump. And that's going to delay the recovery by 1 to 2 years.
Brought to you by manscaped.com. Right, that's going to delay recovery. Oh, man. Wasn't anyone watching them? Do we have people in charge of this sort of thing?
Well, I think maybe that was related to the fungus. Maybe that was how they dealt with the fungus outbreak.
I mean, I don't want to be over dramatic about this, but can you imagine, like, we had lockdowns. You know how much that hurt the economy. Can you imagine if the economy tries to function without coffee? Like, it's going to be, you know, I mean, it'll obviously snap back quicker than expected, yada, yada, yada. But we're heading into dark times. You take away people's coffee. You can lock them up in their house for 3 months. That's one thing. You take away their coffee, you're going to have riots. Ooh, yeah. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, well, it's gonna get expensive. I think. I mean, we're talking about the future prices for 2022-23, so it's kind of locked in. So we've got a bit of a shock ahead of us,
right?
Yeah. So, and it's already like I talked to my mate who runs a cafe, but they're already seeing it in the prices that they're paying. But the other thing going on for coffee is that in our case, it's labor costs. So he's really struggled to find people to work in the cafe because we've right. had, you know, around Byron Bay and up here, we've had, you know, house prices are up like 30%. Rents are up like, I don't know, no hard data on it, but my guess would be like 30 or 40%, if not more. Yeah, so if you're, you know, someone working in a cafe, you're really struggling to meet rent, let alone buy. So that creates a shortage, and that's on top of the, you know, without the foreign workers who often gravitate to hospitality jobs. But yeah, the AFR was running an article this week about dishwashers charging $50 an hour to wash dishes.
Man, those machines will just screw us every chance they get. I mean, my dishwasher doesn't do a very good job, but no way I'm paying her $50 an hour. So what do we all do? I guess we just switch to what, Red Bull and Mother, get our caffeine from there. I was actually, when you sent me the article about the coffee shortage, I thought, I did a bit of research and I was curious to know how they made the caffeine in Red Bull and Mother to see if it was the same, caffeine. Uh-huh. And it turns out they don't. It's like purely synthetic. It says here, ingredients such as taurine, caffeine and vitamins are synthetically produced to ensure consistent high quality, which is kind of like, it just makes Red Bull a bit of a contradiction in a can, because it also says the water in Red Bull is alpine water of the highest quality, which comes from the Austrian and Swiss Alps. The sugar is produced from sugar beet. Ingredients such as taurine, caffeine and vitamins are synthetically produced to ensure consistent high quality. It's from the Red Bull fact sheet.
Wow.
Because, you know, you'd hate to mix in anything natural with your Swiss alpine water. Right, Thomas, finally, it seems like we're seeing the end of cash all through society, and now you're saying that ATMs are being pulled out left, right and centre. What's going on?
Yeah, so we got some APRA data, APRA being the banking regulator. I got some data from them last week saying that 447 branches, so bank branches, or 9% of the total branch network, have closed in the past year. So, wow. Yeah, big fall in the number of branches around. But ATMs are disappearing at a quicker rate than that. So they lost 1,864 ATMs, or 19% of the network, ripped out in the past year. In the past 5 years, there's been a 44% fall, from 13,000 odd down to 7,000 odd, and 803, or a third of the entire network, in the last 2 years alone. So a rapid ripping out of ATMs.
I better get some cash out for indoor soccer tomorrow night before it's too late.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. Partly it's demand driven. So saying that Australian Banking Association's data saying that ATM withdrawals have fallen 20% in the year to August 2021, and there's 16% the year before. So there's big decline, and we saw this with COVID. So like with a lot of everything went online, all sort of, you know, everyone's paying by cards. So a lot of shops weren't even accepting cash, and so there's a big fall in the demand for cash. So 16% last year, 20% this year. So yeah, they're pretty big declines.
I'm almost at a point now where I don't need my wallet. I've got like my Metro card for the train, and that is literally the only thing I need a wallet for. Like everything else is on the phone. Like I just don't carry cash, and everything I can do on my phone.
Yeah, driver's license, it's all there. Hey?
Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I see people advertising wallets online. I think, man, that's a dying industry. You heard it here first. Short wallet sellers. So demand for ATM and cash is down generally. But the other thing is that once there's been a sort of industry-wide shift towards fee-free withdrawals, which turned ATMs into a profit center, into a cost center. So there's sort of no point in having them anymore. They're just a cost. So the banks are kind of keen to get rid of them.
They're just servicing people for nothing.
Just offering convenience with no price attached to it. Yeah, I mean, we should note that the data on cash withdrawals comes from the ABA, so they could be talking their book there.
Fair enough.
But justifying. But yeah, we do know, like, definitely in terms of the percentage of transactions, cash has declined sharply since COVID started. I think we're down to like less than a fifth in Australia now of all transactions happen with cash. But there's an interesting thing is that while demand for cash is tanking, there's a huge amount of cash coming into the system. So I've got a chart here I'll share, which is from the RBA on their money ag. So during 2020, currency, the amount of dollars and coins in the economy was growing at almost 20%.
What?
So it was booming, and it's now fallen back to a growth of 5%, which is sort of in line with historical averages. But there was a huge boom in the amount of money, but not like digital money, like the most, when we talk about quantitative easing and money printing, that's just like digital money, just pressing a button. This is actual hard currency. Yeah, growing at 20%.
Where's it going?
Well, apparently there's a thing called the paradox of banknotes, which is
I like it.
Yeah, it comes from the central banks. we probably don't like it as much. But yeah, so the central banks talk about this paradox of banknotes is that while there's much less cash being used in transactions, demand for cash is booming. Yeah, so say in Europe, the ECB released something saying that a fifth of banknotes in circulation were being used in recorded sales. So only a fifth.
Only one fifth.
Yeah, so four fifths were just kind of like not really sure where they are and what they're doing.
Isn't this the whole problem with cash? Isn't this why governments and everyone else are so supportive of kind of getting away from cash? Is because cash, the traceability element, like cash isn't traceable. You know, even I think, yeah, we talked about last week about CBA offering Bitcoin. Bitcoin's traceable to a degree. If you know that, like a wallet address, you can see money flowing around the system, whereas cash is sort of very untraceable. But you're saying it's the government that's making the cash.
Yeah, but it's sort of going out. So while demand for cash transactions is plummeting, demand for actual cash is booming. And the euro responded to this and printed 140 billion euro of extra cash, extra hard currency. That's on top of the QE, just to meet this demand. And they're thinking, no one's really talking about it, but everyone seems to think it's just black market operations.
Yeah.
So Britain's National Crime Agency did an analysis of how many banknotes were printed and how many were used in transactions to figure out the leakage. And they found out that so much money is leaving the country that the only feasible way it could be doing it is in massive trucks. Like, there's just that much money leaving the country that it can't be like...
So it can't be like your little drug mule here and there.
No. Well, there's a story a couple of weeks ago where this woman got picked up trying to fly to somewhere in Europe out of the UK, and she got busted with like $3 million in just notes. And it's all like tens and twenties. So like, she had three suitcases that she was lugging around, and I was like, oh, that's carrying a lot of luggage. She's like, I don't know if it's going to be cold or not.
Well, I read that you sent me. Apparently she had it wrapped in coffee to try and like to smuggle, like to throw off the sniffer dogs. But given the price of coffee now, I imagine it'd be the other way soon. People would be wrapping up coffee and banknotes as they try and smuggle a couple of Arabica beans over the border.
Yeah, so and so illegal, obviously, to smuggle that much money out of it. But the authorities were saying, like, if they're willing to just let that much go in one hit and risk losing it, then there must just be so much money flowing out of the system. And as they're saying, like, must be truckloads.
It can't all be that, can it? Are you seriously saying we live in a society where four-fifths of the cash in the economy is being managed by mafia and ne'er-do-wells?
Those ne'er-do-wells. I think they're a bit more organised than your mates down at Westfield. Yeah. I think that's what we're saying. Yeah. And
four
I think
fifths.
It's massive. And it's probably just accelerating because people are turning away from cash in droves. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like, if people are worried about moving to a cashless society, you're going to quickly end up with a situation where 90% of cash is held by criminal elements, and the case to outlaw cash just gets easier and easier to make as you go.
All right. Well, if anyone is out there holding suitcases full of cash, feel free to sling some through to your mates here at CVE. We could certainly do with a bit to keep bringing you some content. That does us for this week. Don't forget to check out all the other great podcasts from Equity Mates Media. Get Started Investing, Equity Mates Investing Podcast, You're in Good Company, Talk Money to Me, and the brand new Crypto Curious podcast. I had a listen the other day. It's fantastic if you like your crypto. So lots to get your ears around. Also, big news this week, we're launching the Equity Mates Media Awards, which is a chance to give our community an opportunity to recognise some of the best products, platforms, and voices in the Australian financial landscape. So this year, there are five awards. We're seeking nominations for Investor of the Year, CEO/Business Leader of the Year, ETF of the Year, Platform of the Year, and Community Member of the Year. So that could be you. So find the link in the show details in the show notes and make sure you get your nominations in. But that's it for us this week. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We will see you then.
Comedian vs. Economist is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Comedian vs. Economist are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Comedian vs. Economist acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.